Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Outbreak Podcast, an outlet for discussing creativity and the great beyond. We also discuss everything from gaming to film to the dark and dreary corners of the internet. I'm your host on this wild ride, William Key. This is episode 124. How's everybody doing on this fantastic Friday in September? So we're here now. We're in September. I hope you guys are loving the cool weather, because it has certainly been much cooler than it was in August. That's for sure. Because literally fall is just around the corner. Pumpkin spice is out. It is literally taken over the world. And I can't get away from it. I was at Starbucks today and the guy asked me, do you want a pumpkin spice cold brew? And I'm like, no, I don't actually. I don't want a pumpkin spice cold brew. My wife's bringing the actual sauce, flavor shots in the house. So she's making pumpkin spice coffee at home. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? Like, I'm basically, because they started talking about pumpkin spice as early as August, I've been in denial, and I've just basically been trying to push it away. Except for that time I did get myself a pumpkin spice ice cap, because I was oddly curious. One night I had a moment of weakness, and it was actually pretty good, I'll admit. And even like the pumpkin spice muffins at Tim Hortons are decent, you know what I mean? But I'm not the type of person that's like bouncing off the walls for everything pumpkin. Pumpkin pie might be the only thing that I will allow into my aura on a regular basis. You know, I will eat pumpkin pie every day. I will even take pumpkin pie in a Dairy Queen blizzard. But if you start like trying to feed me cold brews and frappuccinos and other things, I'm just going to tell you no. You kind of had to catch me in that white girl summer mood if I really want to kind of hunker down on pumpkin spice. But I digress. You know, you guys are all here for the show. We have a pretty jam-packed show, but I do kind of want to talk about the elephant in the room, because as you can probably tell, I kind of gracefully danced around it. You know, the fact that this is my first show of September. We're in the middle of September right now, and this is the first time I'm recording in 2 weeks. Yeah, I kind of just disappeared, and I didn't really give you guys any particular reason why. You know, I try to give you guys advance notice. I feel like maybe the first week I did. Second week I didn't. I just kind of let it pass by. I looked at the date. I looked at the time I'm typically recording, and I said, no. And I just didn't do it. And I'll be honest, guys. As you've seen throughout the summer and now into fall, this has kind of been a recurring trend post episode 100. I took a hiatus around episode 109. I took 2 week breaks during June and July and August, and now into September. I've been taking a lot of breaks, and you're probably wondering why that is. I didn't even know. You know, initially there were other reasons, another valid reason for it. You know, I was choosing date nights over doing the podcast, or, you know, my wife was home, so it didn't really jive with the schedule, because I typically record these when I'm by myself, because it's less awkward that way. She's not sitting on the couch watching TV while I'm trying to sit here talking to myself. As you know, the way that the show is kind of framed is that I am sort of talking to the void. The viewers out there, however many you are, anchor.fm seem to tell me I have an audience size of one. So I'm probably the only one listening to it at the moment, which it's not an accurate representation, obviously, of how many people have downloaded the show, because I have over 1,100 downloaded episodes total since I switched to Anchor, which it doesn't sound like a heck of a lot, but that does bring me close to sort of that 3,000 threshold. I'm getting too much into my downloads here, but again, I'm kind of stirring myself away from the obvious, which was I've been away. And the reason is because I've been kind of faced with sort of a mental and emotional crossroads. I had a chat not only with my therapist, but I kind of had started weighing some pros and cons in my head, especially in the past week or so, as I knew that this day was coming, and trying to determine how I felt about continuing this show. You guys are probably hearing this and thinking, oh my God, he's going to tell us the show is done. That's not the case. I'm not telling you that the show is done. I'm telling you that I'm sort of unsure about where I see the future of the show going. As you guys know, I have been very open in terms of my mental health, in terms of my aspirations and my goals for the show and what I would like to achieve. And in some cases, I have achieved those goals. But then I realized after kind of passing episode 100, I didn't have any clear goals or clear next step in mind. And I talked about this with my therapist on Wednesday, because funny enough, I have talked about my podcast to my therapist and, you know, how, especially more recently, I just haven't really been in the mood to do it. There hasn't been that same sort of pull to get me to the table to record a show like this. And I think because I'm realizing that I've been in this sort of revolving cycle of just showing up with a script, whatever I've been able to gather from the week, sit down, record the episode, edit it, post it to the world, do the poll, and then leave. There isn't a lot of sort of like post-production. There isn't a lot of like continuing to bump it on social media, because I basically did all the hard work. You know, I did the hardest part, which was sitting down to record and to edit, and it's out there. It's in the world. Whoever listens to it, and that's it. You know, and then I look at other shows that I follow and people within my sort of frame of like podcasting sphere for gaming and entertainment, and I think to myself, like, I should be doing more. But a lot of the shows that I listen to are not a one-man crew. In fact, there are some shows, too, that have other editors. That people don't even edit their own shows. Can you believe that? That's crazy to me. I mean, I've been listening to my own voice for the past 3+ years, more than that, because I've been doing podcasts for 10 years on and off. I'm used to the sound of my own voice now, and otherwise I wouldn't be doing this show, and I wouldn't be as comfortable as I am in front of a computer, in front of a microphone, and kind of giving you guys the tea. Yeah, today especially was sort of the outlier of a week of kind of like negative emotion. I think post therapy appointment, I did feel like I kind of boosted a little bit. I got the answers I was kind of looking for, and I sort of have some next steps in mind as to how I'm going to sort of tackle what I want to do. And this goes back to this show, because the crossroads that I'm facing and that I have been facing for a while was, do I need to go on hiatus again? There was a couple of things. Do I go on hiatus again? Do I abandon the show completely and just move on, you know, collect my severance package of $0 and just go on? Because there's another thing that's beaten on the door come next month, and that's the birth of my second child, where I realize that my time is going to be limited. I will most likely have more times where I'm going to be skipping the recording because I have another child at home. And, you know, I do kind of have to come to this a decision that is going to at least give me that time and that window of opportunity to be able to assess what I want to do in the future into 2024 and beyond. And as I sit here, I'm not even 100% confident in what decision I want to make. But the one thing that I know for certain is that I know that the current iteration of the show needs to change. And I don't know if it means that, like, I'm going to continue doing weekly episodes. I don't know if it means that the focus of the show is going to be centered around the news, or if I really want to just take the plunge and start doing a show that will always have a guest, a recurring guest. I just know that as I've been telling myself the same thing for the past 3 years, I've been telling you guys the same thing for the past 3 years, and I made it work for like maybe 3 or 4 episodes, but I didn't stick with it. And I think that, I don't know, I think this is just my goal right now, is I need to maybe pivot the focus of the show. Or, and the other option that I kind of tossed around in my head was, have a side project, a side project that would allow me the opportunity to kind of break away from the Outbreak podcast for a little bit and maybe focus on some other things that I'm a bit more passionate about, which, you know, I've always been an advocate for, of course, gaming and entertainment, but also mental health. And I feel like it is tough to kind of wrap all that up in a bow with this show when it is really just me. And I do want to talk to other people. And I think that that's something that I am going to kind of be leaning towards going forward. I think after this week, I think I am going to be taking a bit of a hiatus. I'm saying it here, as I need to sort of make a decision on this. I think I will need to take a hiatus, because I kind of want to have time to sort of assess where I feel like this show is going, what my next like 5 years is going to look like. What do I hope to achieve? And I start making myself some goals. And I think it may also mean that it is essentially going to come down to, is this show going to continue in this form, or is it going to change, or am I going to create something else entirely to allow me the room to be able to do that while still doing this show? I mean, I will be available on Twitter if you guys want to, continue to chat. I will try to be as vocal as I can on platforms like Discord, on Instagram, even TikTok, because again, as I'm sort of figuring this all out, I still want to be somewhat active as best as I can in the community. But I think at the moment, given the fact that I haven't really been looking at podcasting the same way, especially in the past like 2-3 weeks, like this has been like day in and day out, I've been thinking about this sort of thing. I think I do need to kind of put the show on pause. That's not to say that I'm going to stop it here, because obviously I came to the show with a lineup and I do want you guys to listen. But this is the beginning of the show where the life updates part come out. So that's sort of where I'm standing right now. I'm going to put a pin in it. We can come back to it at the end of the show, as I've kind of finished up everything. But I do want to pivot away and get into what I've been experiencing and also talk about the news for the past week, even the past 2 weeks or so, because there's been a lot of big stuff coming out this week. And I do want to discuss it with you guys. First off, let's talk about what I've been experiencing. I did finally put a pin in Undertale. I finished that game, or at least an iteration of the story, because it was quite unclear. I'm under the assumption that there are multiple endings for Undertale. I didn't even get to fight Sans, which I thought was kind of strange, but I guess I kind of chose certain paths and certain like characters that I decided to kill versus not kill that ultimately led me down the path where I ended up fighting this flower that just became this like giant demon that he, I guess, tried to like take my soul or something. And that was how the game ended. I got to admit, like, this was not the type of game that I would typically play. It is, and thankfully it was quite a short experience. I'd say it was like 3 or 4 hours long. Perfect. The perfect experience for me. I thought that the writing was like really, really funny. I'd say, Anodyne certainly borrowed elements from Undertale in terms of just the humor of its style of writing, but it didn't go all the way out to left field. Like, I feel like Undertale was written with the intent to be funny and not taken seriously, while still having a somewhat serious story under there. I think that the characters in the world that that inhabit Undertale are just absolutely bonkers. They're insane. And so I will certainly consider revisiting Undertale again to see if I can experience it in a different way and make different decisions, because I do feel like I've only really experienced like a third of what that game has to offer, and I feel like there's just so much more that I have left to explore. Otherwise, I did watch some movies and I watched a new television show. So I had some friends over 2 weeks ago. We finally sat down and watched the Super Mario Brothers movie, and I got to admit, I enjoyed it. I thought that there was a lot of great Easter eggs throughout that film, musical cues, characters, hidden background characters, and I think it was performed pretty well. I think that all the actors did a great job. Even Chris Pratt, you got used to him by the end of the movie, and it was a fun film. I know it was catered towards kids, but it had some elements that were there for adults as well. It was a good film. I'd say it was about a 7 or 8. Like, it's decent. I would probably watch it again with like Finn if he wanted to, but for now I think that like it's serviceable. I think it definitely did well enough with the marketing and the fact that it is a major character, Mario, that it warrants the potential for, they've been discussing potentially doing an expanded universe. And I know the joke has been introducing other characters, like doing a Zelda film, doing a Star Fox film, and leading towards like Smash Bros, which would be pretty cool. But I know there were some interesting references. I think there was an R-Wing that was located within the beginning of the Super Mario movie as like a toy stand, or it was a toy on a stand in Mario's room or something. So, it shows that those worlds are connected in some way by Nintendoverse, I guess Nintendo Cinematic Universe, if that's what they're deciding to build up to. Cool. I would like to see how they do that, because I think that this film it served the fans very well. And I think people who made the movie clearly care about the character, and they worked closely with Nintendo to make sure that they got it right, and they did. And good for them for doing that. Next up, I did finally sit down to watch The Little Mermaid with my wife this week, because she's watched it twice and she really wanted me to see it. So I did, and I gotta say, again, decent film, I guess, you know, for a popcorn flick, a nice sit on the couch one romantic evening to watch Little Mermaid. I already knew what to expect. It's The Little Mermaid. I've watched the story. I've played Kingdom Hearts. Like, I know how the story of Little Mermaid goes. I just wanted to see if the actors stepped up and performed really well. And I think for the most part, everybody was cast pretty good. Even the kid who played Eric was fine. You know, he was not as one-dimensional as I was expecting him to be. I think Melissa McCarthy, and I think her name is Halle Bailey, the girl who did end up playing Ariel. I thought that they did fantastic jobs channeling not only Ariel, but of course, as I mentioned, Melissa McCarthy as Ursula. You can even hear them really trying to like bring in elements of the original animated characters' voices into their role, and they did a fantastic job. And another one, King Triton, played by Javier Bardem. He nailed that role, and I really kind of wish that he did not wear armor and that he stuck to being a shirtless character like he was in the animated show, because I wanted to see some, you know, 8-pack abs from Javier Bardem. I'm sure he's capable of it, so I was a little let down with that. Otherwise, though, I mean, you know, all the scenes that featured, that kind of flowed in the way that Little Mermaid does, they did pretty well. I think the one scene that I was sort of like put off by was, you know, when Ursula finally came to the human world, kind of took on her sort of young, attractive lady form that would come with Ariel's voice in the locket. Prince Eric was, you know, you only kind of faint glimmer in the eye that he was sort of taken under the spell of Ursula, but he shook it so easily because, like, when Ariel showed up, he was just like, oh, and he was fine. I felt like in the original film, it was like he was like literally a walking zombie. Or at least they seem to portray that in the game of Kingdom Hearts 2. So, I don't know. It was kind of a weird scene and a little put off. I also liked the cameo from Jodie Benson, who played the original Ariel. Like, I heard the voice and I'm like, oh, I know her. So, and I even really appreciated the actor who played Sebastian and the actor who played Flounder. They were spot on in terms of their performance and they did it really well. Of course, the actor who played Sebastian, I think he was funnier in this film than he was in the animated film. And it was so funny watching the little crab swimming and his little back feet just like kicking like a frog. I'm like, there, look him go. He looks so cute. I enjoyed it. Finally, the TV show that I did end up watching, I started One Piece. This is the live action Netflix version of One Piece. And I got to say, I am very impressed. This was an absolutely spectacular adaptation from an animated to a live action. I think that, and I've watched sort of behind the scenes, and this is what sort of struck me is like the cast of the show were so passionate about this project and so excited when they finally saw the trailer and the, live reaction to the initial teaser. And the actors are just so likable in these roles. I'll admit, I've watched a couple of episodes of the animated show, but I'm not like hardcore. You know, One Piece is one of the longest running animated shows. It's got like over 1,000 episodes, much like Pokemon. So it is a lot to follow and a lot to keep up with. And so a lot of times when I'm seeing characters popping up on screen, I'm cross-referencing them with Google to see what they look like. And these, you know, the way that they've created this world, it is an interesting, it is a visually spectacular world. The CGI, the fight scenes, the character dynamic, and just the way that these characters are portrayed and the aesthetics of this entire show they're on point. And I think that this is definitely a true contender for one of my favorite shows of this year, surprisingly, because I was a huge anime guy back in the day, but then I dropped off for a number of years. So there hasn't really been an adaptation that has pulled me and actually wanted me to watch it. And I think the marketing behind One Piece worked really well. And the fact that they cast relative unknowns as well definitely catapulted this show. And the fact that they're so passionate about these characters in this world, and there's so much source material to pull from, but you know, they are kind of telling stories that have been adapted in the manga that also have been adapted on the television show, but they're also kind of putting fresh spins on it. And I'm enjoying it so far, and I'm learning a bit more about the series as I'm going on and some of the characters. It's sort of like a, you know, I had watched it a bit. I was familiar to some degree, at least with the main three, but some of the side characters I'd kind of forgotten about. So it's nice to get a bit of a refresh on some of the characters and the world. Yeah, that's all I have to say on that. I do want to get into our stories for the week because we did have a lot of stories dropped. Yesterday especially, we got two live shows, one from Nintendo, one from PlayStation. And it is obviously looking at games that are coming out over the course of the next couple of months. Let's start with Nintendo. So Nintendo Direct, it was a 40-minute show focusing on games that are coming this winter. That includes end of 2023 into early 2024. So one of the biggest announcements was, of course, Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, HD, was announced. I never played the original Thousand Year Door. I think we rented it on the GameCube many years ago. But I beat Paper Mario 1, so I really did enjoy that game. It was a struggle to beat as somebody who wasn't really a turn-based RPG guy back on the N64. So I am looking forward to giving this one another chance. And it does looks gorgeous. You know what I mean? Like, they've updated these graphics. And it makes me think that, like, they're going to continue and probably bring back Paper Mario in a big way for the Switch or for the inevitable, you know, sequel Switch, whatever the Switch 2 is going to be. This one was a surprise. They actually announced a remake to the original Mario vs. Donkey Kong that first debuted on the Game Boy Advance back in 2004. So the reveal not only showed off the gameplay, which it looked like a fun sort of puzzle romp, but also confirmed the local co-op. So you can sort of play and try to traverse your way to try to beat up Donkey Kong in local co-op. Another game that was a surprise announcement was F-Zero. So the original F-Zero was back in a massive way. They've relaunched it as F-Zero 99, which is a 99-player Battle Royale-style racing game taking place within the original F-Zero and SNES graphics, which I'm like, and it came out available on Nintendo Switch Online if you have a subscription, so people could play it as soon as they saw the show. So this game's going to be absolutely insane because it is sort of like the traditional F-Zero meets Destruction Derby. If you're dead, you're out. You're gone. So it's like a death race, essentially, but for F-Zero. So I feel like F-Zero, in a way, was sort of like Space Death Race, right? It was very fast-paced, and people died pretty gruesomely, actually. We got some new details on that Princess Peach game that was teased a couple months back. So this game is actually now called Princess Peach's Showtime. It's the name of a game, and Nintendo gave us a first look. And it looks as though it's a side-scrolling game where Peach sort of takes different forms depending on the world that she's in. And she's sort of trying to save a play. And she's working with a character named Stella. And there's this evil sort of like monster that is sort of ruining different plays, I believe. I'm not entirely focused. I wasn't entirely sure what the premise was, but the world looks spectacular. You play as Peach, and almost like a Kirby game, you know, Peach kind of goes to these different worlds and sort of takes on the appearance of a world. Anyway, so Princess Peach Showtime is out on March 22nd, 2024. Nintendo, hitting with the surprises yet again, they announced that the original Tomb Raider, that includes Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3, are getting remastered for Nintendo's hybrid console. So it's coming out February 14th, just in time for Valentine's Day. The remaster will have an option for players to toggle between the updated visuals and the original polygonal triangle boobs for some retro flair. And updated visuals aside, these remasters will also include expansions and secret levels for each game. Luigi's Mansion 2, which debuted all the way back in, I believe, like 2010 or something. I can't remember. I think it came for the 3DS at first. It's got a new trailer showing that the game is going to be arriving next summer on the Switch. So not confirmed for the winter, but it will come out next summer, and it's going to be in HD. We got some more details on some Splatoon stuff. I'm not going to talk much about that. We got a new trailer for Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. That game is slated to be launching on July 18th or January 18th. And it is being developed by Ubisoft Montpellier, which is the developer behind Rayman Legends. So I actually looked, this game looked quite interesting. The more I'm watching it, it is Rayman Origins and Legends were games that I have certainly wanted to try for a while, and I might actually give them a chance since seeing that they're on PlayStation Plus. I just like that look of the game. And I don't remember Prince of Persia having monsters, but I mean, I like this iteration. It looks pretty cool. We got a new trailer for Super Mario RPG. Again, I didn't need another trailer to get me excited for this, because this is my chance to finally play Super Mario RPG after all these years. This elusive Super Nintendo classic that I felt like everybody else except for me played, apparently. So this game is coming out just before Christmas on November 17th, 2023. The hilarious, goofy rhythm game Trombone Champ, where you get to use a trombone, which initially was on just the PC, is now coming to the Switch. And alongside a port coming to Nintendo's hybrid console, we learn that the Switch version of the Trombone Champ will let you take advantage of gyro controls, or you can use the Joy-Con's IR motion sensor to play the game. We also got another game that was exclusively PC that's coming to the Switch. That's Dave the Diver. It came out last month on the PC, but is coming to the Switch on October 26th. A year shy of its original release date. Oh, so okay, so Dave the Diver's been out for over a year. Never mind. What do I know? The Mario Kart Delayed Booster Course Wave 6, introduces a new racing track, Daisy Circuit, from Mario Kart Wii, in addition to four new racers from other games, including Diddy Kong, Funky Kong, Pauline, and Peachette, which I didn't even know Peachette was a character, but apparently she was in Mario Kart Tour. New trailer for Detective Pikachu Returns. I didn't actually watch that one. Some more amiibo updates. And then there was a game called Horizon Chase. Another one called Another Code Recollection. And then a couple of other JRPGs. Saga Emerald Beyond. Unicorn Overlord, which is a tactics RPG from the developer behind 13 Sentinels. Eiyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes, which is coming out August 23rd, 2024. The game actually was announced in 2020, with funding for the game conducted through a Kickstarter. So it was supposed to launch back in 2020, but was delayed due to COVID. So WarioWare Move It, which was initially announced at the last Direct, is coming out this November and was previously confirmed to have over 200 micro games. And then one last piece of note is that they are talking about the Nintendo Gallery Museum, which I didn't really know much about this. It's a new building that they're converting from an old plant in Kyoto into a museum that's celebrating the work of Nintendo. It will be completed by March of next year. Now, they announced this by showing a painting on the roof of this building of the iconic question mark block, best known from the Super Mario game. So it looked really cool, and it will be nice to have a place, I guess, in Japan to go visit and get a history of Mario. But it would also be nice if Nintendo could just freaking send some stuff over here to the West, because I would totally love to visit a Nintendo museum in the States. Just saying. New York obviously seems like the hub for that kind of thing, so just send it to New York. I'll find my way there next time I'm on a work trip, and then I'll go and check it out. That's all that we got from the Nintendo show. I am going to move away from that and go into PlayStation, talk about the PlayStation State of Play, as I did get caught up on some of the trailers from that today. Biggest one that dropped was, of course, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe this is the sequel to 7 Remake, if I'm not mistaken. It's not related to Crisis Core. Well, it is kind of, but this is sort of the part two. And this game is going to be releasing on PlayStation 5 on February 29th, 2024. Oh my gosh, I just realized next year is a leap year? That's crazy. Interestingly enough, they reminded us that this game is going to be on two discs. Yeah, I know. The first time they talked about this game, they said it was on two discs and people were like blowing their minds. So that means that the download, if you wanted to get this digitally, is going to be insane. Insane. We got some new trailers about Spider-Man 2, and some gameplay trailers highlighting the many spider suits that you can nab, as well as some unique sort of things you can do throughout the world, kind of exploring the larger regions of, I believe, Queens, and just an expanded New York, and the fact that you can switch between Miles and Peter on the fly. Nobody seems to be talking about the fact that one of the little mini games that you can do kind of looks like the Mysterio Eye, and there's a character briefly seen in the trailer that looks like he could be Mysterio, but nobody's talking about that because it hasn't officially been confirmed yet, and that doesn't seem to be the big news. Everybody's talking about the suits. The suits are cool. I mean, I already expected we're going to be getting a bunch of suits, but they're boasting as many as 65 plus suits that you can play as in the game. That's crazy. And Miles and Peter are going to have their own distinct suits. So they're not going to necessarily have the same suits, which is pretty cool. I mean, I liked the suit. I liked Spider-Punk from Spider-Man 2018. So because he had special abilities, if the suits are designed with special abilities, that would be really cool. The fact that they could even try to come up with different abilities for 65 different suits would be bombastic. But I'm sure, you know, Insomniac's been working at trying to iron that stuff out. Resident Evil 4 was confirmed to be coming to PlayStation VR 2 by way of a trailer. We also got confirmation that the Separate Ways DLC, which features Ada Wong in a story that takes place during the main events of the story, will be coming out September 21st. It is a paid post-launch DLC. Keep in mind of that. And of course, PlayStation 4 Remake is going to be getting a winter release window sometime this winter, probably in the new year. We got a new story trailer for Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. The players will control a Navi. I don't think they have a name for her, who is abducted by the RDA, which I believe are the humans, and is being trained in the human ways. And human ways is in quotations, IGN. What the heck does human ways mean? As one of the last members of the Sorrento clan, players will travel to Pandora in a fish out of water type experience. So, you know, much like how Jake Sully kind of transformed into an avatar in the first film and sort of had this fish out of water experience where he then learned to live like the Navi, this person is doing the reverse. They were essentially a Navi captured and raised as a human, returning to the Navi and now having to relearn the Navi culture, the Navi world, and how to sort of be part of their culture. Much like when you think of Tarzan being pulled out of, you know, the city and living in the jungle. If he were ever to be pulled back into the city, he would have to sort of readjust to that way of living. Is that Tarzan? Is that the best example? I guess Pete's Dragon, the boy in Pete's Dragon was like that too. Then they showed off some new faceplates and DualSense controllers for PlayStation 5, the Deep Earth Collection, which is a new line of accessories that includes three new colors. Listen to this. Sterling Silver, Volcanic Red, and Cobalt Blue. These new colors will be available as console covers and DualSense controllers. The new faceplates and DualSense controllers will arrive on November 3rd. This is the red and blue ones, but the Sterling Silver, you're going to have to wait until January 26th for that one. We got a new trailer for the Bennett Foddy game, Baby Steps. I laughed at this game at the Devolver Digital, because it's essentially like getting over it. But essentially, it's a walking simulator where you play a character named Nate who has to walk through the world one step at a time. He had a funny interaction with a character that he seemed to recognize in this world, and they were talking about using the grappling hook. We'll use the grappling hook. Just use the grappling hook. And I'm like, oh my God, these guys are going back and forth. And then he ended up falling off a cliff. He didn't end up using the grappling hook. So it was quite funny to watch. Short little brief snippet here. They at the State of Play, they did confirm that Roblox, the popular children's game where children make games within Roblox and they all look like Lego pieces, is coming to the PlayStation 4. Roblox for PlayStation 4 is getting a October 10th release date and includes cross-platform support. So I guess PlayStation 4 players can play with those on PC and vice versa. This, I didn't actually watch the trailer for this, but Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord coming out next month for PlayStation 2 on October 26th, just in time for Halloween. It does have to sort of shake legs with Alan Wake 2, as I just heard that game got delayed till the 27th of October to get away from Spider-Man. So I don't know how it's going to fare against Alan Wake. I think more people are going to be playing that instead of Ghostbusters, unfortunately. But players are set in San Francisco running their own ghostbusting business. You will have the chance to play solo or team up with three friends as you try to stop the powerful Ghost Lord and his band of malevolent ghosts from causing chaos. New trailer for Helldivers 2. I gotta be honest, didn't know what this was, and I kind of moved on. But this game will arrive on PlayStation 5 and PC at the start of next year, February 8th. Foam Stars, totally skipped over this one. This was the Splatoon ripoff from Square Enix that involved you spraying foam. The beta will be available on PlayStation 5 on September 29th and conclude on October 1st. So you sort of have a 3-day window to experience Foam Stars in all its foamy glory. Tales of Arise, another kind of weeabo RPG anime game. I know I'm kind of offending a specific audience. I apologize. I have no interest in this game. I don't get it. So it's subtitled Beyond the Dawn, the expansion. It's not actually a game. It's an expansion. It's set 2 years after the release. Will come in November on the 9th. So that was all from the PlayStation show. I gotta be honest, man. Nintendo stole the show for me. I feel like they had better games. This Sony PlayStation showcase was all third-party and indie games and some more PlayStation VR 2 support stuff. Like, what the hell? Like, we have not received a single state of play this year. As far as I know, maybe the beginning of the year was different, that has featured first-party Sony games. Xbox had an entire showcase that was first-party games, and Sony hasn't been able to deliver, like, one showcase since the summer that is focused on first-party games. We got Spider-Man to look forward to, but that's it. So, like, what else does Sony have to show? I'm just saying this as a Sony player. I'm a little disappointed. But there is some stuff in there, but nothing that really sticks out as, like, somewhat appealing that I'm, like, jumping at the bit to get to. As for this next thing, which was the fact that Apple has officially announced the next iteration of its smartphone. So if you're willing to spend upwards of $700 plus on a new iPhone, the iPhone 15, this iPhone 15 and the 15 Pro version will feature a 6.1-inch display, while the Plus and Pro Max will include a 6.7-inch display. Can you get me a freaking ruler? How much is 7.6 inch or 6.7 inches? Wow, that was a dyslexic moment right there. I apologize. Similar to the last two phones before, the iPhone 15 Pro and the Pro Max are both capable of a 120 Hz refresh rate, while of course the iPhone 15 and the 15 Plus are stuck at 60 Hz. Oh my God. As previous rumors suggested, the iPhone 15 series will now include the much touted USB-C port to be able to charge the smartphone, which Apple says will allow the iPhone 15 to charge up to 20 times faster. This marks the first time that the iPhone does not require a lightning cable to charge since Apple switched to that proprietary charging cable back with the iPhone 5. So this actually follows a new European Union law that mandates all smartphones, tablets, and cameras with physical charging port use USB-C by 2024. So this phone, again, like I said, the 15, the base model, will be available at $799. The 15 Plus will be $899. There's some other details. You can go check it out at IGN. The one thing that I was surprised about going into this is that the 15 Pro specifically is being touted as the next generation of mobile gaming, according to Apple, with previous support for console and PC games that were typically unavailable on mobile hardware. So at the same Apple Wanderlust event, the Apple iPhone 15 Pro is getting a lineup of AAA games, and not like old stuff from like 5 years ago. We're talking stuff that is within the last 3 years, maybe like last three or four. So we're talking native versions of Resident Evil 4 Remake, which that came out this year, Resident Evil Village, Death Stranding, and the upcoming Assassin's Creed Mirage. So Apple has teased that there's going to be some huge performance upgrades and ray tracing to be able to play these games on the iPhone. This is honestly a massive step forward for the mobile game space, as Assassin's Creed Mirage's release on iPhone 15 Pro will mark the first time that a console and PC Assassin's Creed game will run natively on iOS. Obviously, this is not to be confused with anything that's been designed as a mobile-only experience. It appears that the full version of Assassin's Creed Mirage and these other titles will be available on 15 Pro. We'll have to see how well these games perform, how well the battery life is going to be, but it is fascinating. I don't know how I feel about playing a game like Resident Evil 4 Remake on such a small screen, but if you have the ability to be able to play on a controller, it'd be all the more enticing. I'm just curious what the battery life is going to look like on that. You got to hope that the battery is going to eventually, you know, you don't hope for it, but it will eventually die out. The power of the battery does not sustain. My current battery is only at like 79% full strength. And that means that really it dies quicker than a phone that's perfect. So that is what it is. That being said, I do want to move ahead to our next story because we are getting close to the hour mark. We got some confirmation today News had actually broke in July that Donald Glover and Steven Glover had actually been tapped by Disney and Lucasfilm to replace writer Justin Simien as writers of a new Lando television series at Disney Plus. But as you know, Donald Glover did play Lando all the way back in 2018 with the film Solo. And, you know, he has been waiting on the sidelines to be able to revisit that character. He thought that Lando was a pretty cool dude and somebody that he would love to hang out with in real life. But we haven't seen anything. You know, it's been 5 years more since then Solo came out. And Solo was sort of tepid in terms of its feedback. It wasn't the best Star Wars film out there. In fact, I think most people would agree that Solo was probably one of the weaker side films, especially compared to Rogue One. But we've seen a resurgence in Star Wars ever under the umbrella of Dave Filoni. So there is hope that Lando is going to get some new life. And that's because now this initial series that was supposed to be written by the Glover brothers is now being developed as a movie, according to Lucasfilm. Glover, like I said, first debuted, it was 2017. So it's been 6 years since he played a Solo, which, as I said, was a notable box office disappointment. But, you know, Steven Glover first dropped this news of Lando being a movie on a recent appearance on the Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast, telling the host, "It's not even a show. The idea right now is to do a movie. Right now, because of the strike, it's kind of like telephone. All the information..." Yeah, and then he kind of had to stop himself because he realized he may have said a little too much. So Lucasfilm did eventually confirm this news afterwards. Yeah, Donald Glover described playing Lando as charm incarnate, that he is kind of a maverick, and he doesn't think there's a lot of that anymore. It's hard to be smooth talker nowadays. Where's the line? That there's also where the danger is. How close can you get without tripping over it? And he's talked about the fact that he would love to play Lando again. So he's getting this opportunity. The idea is telling the story. What is the story going to be within the universe, and how is it going to sort of, you know, build bridges between certain stories? Like, maybe in this case it's going to build a bridge between Solo and probably Empire Strikes Back, when Billy Dee Williams first took on the role of Lando, because there is sort of a gap to fill there with that character. We do have some unanswered questions with the post-credit scene, or the ending of the film, which featured Darth Maul and Kira, and the fact that they were working together. And hopefully that's something that we can get some more details on, because it wasn't really... It was the one scene in the film that left us wondering, okay, well, are they going to explore this in some way? Like, Darth Maul is still alive? What is happening here? Anyways, I want to move ahead to our final story and bring back a segment that has long been discarded. It's been put up in the attic. It's under a couple of boxes and some old ratty magazines that you probably forgot your parents had. It's behind the cyber veil. I somehow stumbled or tripped into this story today. And apparently this has been a long running series on YouTube about a man out in Japan who basically turned himself into a collie, into a dog. And this man, who kind of got his own real life costume, he paid $14,000 for a lifelike costume to dress up like a Shetland collie, the one from like Lassie, like that kind of dog. And I gotta be honest, I was like a little weirded out by this when I saw it. I saw some of the videos. It does look kind of robotic in terms of his movements, because the man's got to be on all fours at all times. And it is a pretty realistic looking dog. You know, the eyes blink, the mouth moves, he wags, he rolls over. He does all the things that a dog typically does, but it's in a much more robotic sense because it is still a human in there. And apparently, he's calling himself Toko, is part of what is considered a larger pack known as Theory. Make sure I get this right. Therians. So you'd think this man would be a furry because he's dressed up like a hairy dog. But it turns out, according to psychologists who actually believe that Toko might be a Therian, someone who identifies with a non-human animal species. Experts say that it's not the same as a furry who enjoy occasional cosplay and animal costumes. It's important to distinguish that furries, who are essentially fans, versus somebody who actually believes and feels in their body that they are an animal. I guess in this case, somebody who thinks they're a wolf, who's like a lycanthrope or whatever. Therians, for example, believe that they are a cat soul reincarnated into a human body. Some furries are Therians, and some Therians are furries, but they are two distinct groups. Like I said, I was reading these articles. I was going on a wild sort of rabbit hole watching a bunch of YouTube videos on this man. And I got to be honest, I was a little disturbed. You know what? This is not... And I'm probably going to be given flack for this, but this is not unlike the LGBTQ community. Hear me out. Before you hate on me, it's because when I'm reading something about somebody who believes that they're a animal soul reincarnated into a body, I start getting these sort of like images of people who are, say, like non-binary, or they identify as pansexual, asexual, and there's a certain sort of like reasoning or something that's going on inside their brain that makes them feel as if they are not within their own body and that they sort of identify in a certain way. Like I said, I probably could receive a ton of flack for this, and I even apologize for bringing it up, but that is sort of like the closest comparison I can make. And to me, it's not my cup of tea, but like, if this person is happy living this life and they're clearly, you know, as I've read on in the article, like they only tend to dress as an animal when they're in the comfort of their own home. And sometimes like not even every day, sometimes they just do it once a week. They carry out normal lives. That's fine, I guess. And he's received a bit of a following for it, and that's cool. Hopefully nothing that's, you know, he's not receiving any like death threats or any like negative comments. You know, it does seem like an interesting sort of experiment. And I mean, if this guy believes it, then that's his right to believe it, right? And who are we to say that like, no, that guy's wrong? I mean, for example, I've spoken with a lot of friends that are part of the LGBTQ community who also, you know, feel as if like they don't identify in their body, and they feel like they, like if they're a man, but they actually feel like they're a woman. And it's sort of this, like, it is a confusing sort of state. And in 2023, it's something that we're still kind of wrapping our heads around, and, you know, pronouns, and how do we refer to somebody? How do we kind of even broach that subject without offending anybody? Like I said, even when I made the comparison, I already felt like I was offending a whole wider spectrum of audiences by comparing this individual to a larger group. So yeah, it was a risque move bringing this story up because, you know, it's behind the cyber veil. And, you know, for a long time, the mantra of the show and the mission statement was that I covered dark corners of the internet. This isn't exactly a dark corner of the internet, but it is sort of on the obscure end, right? It's not something that I would typically talk about, but it was kind of an interesting story. And it was sort of the prime focus for at least an hour or two when I was at work, when I was supposed to be doing work. I was just fascinated by this individual story. And I'm like, okay, cool. And let you live your life. And if you're happy, then you know what, clap your hands. But that was basically my mantra for that. So anyways, getting away from this so I can awkwardly stop talking about this poor soul, I want to talk about the YouTube video of the week. I have gained a great appreciation and became a new fan of a channel called Big Tug, otherwise known as Tucker Lindgren, located in the States. This individual is hilarious. I first spotted him on TikTok, who did some like TikTok videos on like animals that he thinks are cute, but they're actually like, or they're disgusting, or he does like very fast paced, like sort of like comedic, the comedic timing and the editing in some of his videos is actually really funny. And he has shifted over into YouTube, and he just recently surpassed 1 million followers, which is amazing. And I've learned that he is inspired by fellow creators that I really appreciate, like Aaron Hansen and even Drew Gooden and Nakey Jakey. So I can certainly see where he borrows some of that elements, and I can definitely see him rubbing elbows with some of those guys in the future, because he is sort of on the upwards path of success. He's a young fellow as well, and I think that he's really funny. His sense of humor is right up my alley, the type of person who kind of portrays a character that is a little like angry, and he's a little like short-tempered, and things just kind of irritate him, and he just needs to tell us all about it and why, you know, if we're doing a certain thing, why we should be ashamed of it. Because, you know, for example, for people who are on Facebook, I saw a TikTok where he was talking about people who are on Facebook, get off of Facebook. If you're a sad millennial or somebody who shares like obscure Harry Potter memes, or you're an old person. That's the only people, or a mix of the three or four. Those are the people who are on Facebook. And I'm like, that's hilarious, because I'm probably one of those sad millennials who sometimes shares memes, not necessarily Harry Potter related memes, but I do share the occasional meme. I just have Facebook because it's one of those things where, like, people invite me to events, and sometimes the events are held on Facebook, and it's like a solid platform to do that. So that's why I do it. I mean, Facebook tries to push. This is a whole other debate, and this is unrelated. And like I said, the reason why I'm talking about Big Tug is because he did a video called Why Fashion is a Nightmare. Go watch it on YouTube. I'll link it in the video below. But I need to get this rant off my chest, and I'm so sorry to Mr. Big Tug, who I've been promoting as our YouTube video of the week. But I digress. See the video. I have a bone to pick with social media these days. In fact, there's a lot of days where I kind of wish I would just have an internet blackout, because social media is driving me fucking mental. So here's the thing. Facebook and X, well, Twitter, are pushing notifications to me of things I don't care about. And here's why. I have gone out of my way to unfollow and unlike pages. I've unfollowed friends. And by unfollow, in the sense of Facebook, I mean I'm still friends with them, but I'm unfollowing them so I don't see their posts on my wall, because I don't care. But I do like my friend count, because I'm kind of like shallow like that. Let me be clear. Facebook and Twitter have been pushing unnecessary notifications to me about things that they think that I would like. Sometimes it's on the case of Facebook. Oh, did you know that, like, Dairy Queen had posted a new... I don't care. I don't care that Dairy Queen posted a new post on their Facebook page for the first time in 7 years. And then Twitter. Oh, Twitter's even worse. It doesn't go after my main Twitter page. It goes after my Podcast Outbreak Twitter account, where it knows that I literally do nothing for it. And it will say, let's give you 4 notifications at 6 o'clock in the morning for people that you don't even follow on TikTok, but you may be interested in because you follow people similar. I swear to God, I hate social media. Like, 2023 social media is absolutely absurd. Every single platform is doing this. I understand TikTok, it's algorithm based. That's fine. Feed me as much as you want. YouTube as well. I don't care. Feed me as much as you want. But Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, I think it's all algorithm based as well, because it's the big tech, and it's part algorithm and part, like, we want to keep you coming back to the platform somehow, so we'll push notifications to your phone. I'm honestly just going to turn push notifications off, because it is driving me up the wall that I'm like, oh my God, I got a notification, what is it? And it's like, oh, this fucking Daisy Duck posted something on Twitter saying, oh, can you believe the sun here in Florida? Oh my God. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I don't care. I don't follow Daisy Duck. I don't care what is going on in Florida. I'm sorry for you Daisy Duck fans in Florida or friends of Daisy Duck. I don't really give a shit. Okay. That's my rant. That is my social media rant for the afternoon. That brings us to the end of the show, essentially, but I do want to go over the poll question as we're talking about Twitter, which is kind of ironic because I was just basically bashing Twitter, and it's fine. And you've probably noticed I've been calling it Twitter because, you know, I want you guys to know that I will no longer be calling it X. I'm done calling it X. You can try to push X to me, and I don't X and care, okay? So let's talk about the poll question. From 2 weeks ago, I had asked you guys, do you think that moving back into the handheld market with PlayStation Portal is going to be a good move for Sony? This is because PlayStation Portal was officially announced. It was initially Project Q and became PlayStation Portal, which is essentially an iPhone with 2 PlayStation joysticks on the outside. That was touting 60 frames per second, 1080p, 60 frames per second for every single game, which I was like, I don't buy that shit. Anyways, 75% of you said no, you don't think it's a good move, and 25% of you said yes. So you guys were kind of on the same page as me. I think that it's one of those I'll believe it when I see it things. When the console actually drops, I believe it's dropping sometime this fall, in time for Christmas holiday. So It's just another expensive device that those silly people who unfortunately have to review tech and video games will probably be getting their hands on day one and realize, man, why am I reviewing this? But if you're getting it for free, that's all good. You can always send it back or just add it to your shelf of other collectibles that are probably collecting dust. I'm not bitter at all. Ha ha ha. Anyways, moving on to the next poll question, and I want you guys to know, who did you think won that this live show this week? Was it Sony or Nintendo? Who had the better show this week, Sony or Nintendo? Choose one of the two. You can, the question will be available on Twitter at the release of this episode. I will not tell you this time around that it's going to be discussed on next week's episode. You'll just kind of have to tune in because, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I will be taking a bit of a hiatus. However long this will last, I'm not sure, but I will try to keep you guys updated on Twitter and try to stay as active as I can as I sort of figure out what is next in terms of the show and where I want to take it and in what shape or form I will be in. I'm hoping that I don't have to stay on hiatus until the end of the year, but it also, I have a kid on the way and things are going to get really busy and I need to sort of balance the work life and also take some time for myself too. I think I deserve that. All right, I'm just going to give myself that. I'm sorry. I'm going to give myself that. So if you guys, you know, there's other shows to watch out there. I can recommend a whole ton of other shows that you guys can tune into in the meantime while I'm gone. Namely, first, let's talk about AGP. So a gaming podcast. I know this is a brand new show that's actually started from a lot of local content creators, including Steve Saylor, Steve Vigvari, Riley Little, Peter Pants, Aaron Caboose, and a whole bunch of other local Canadian content creators in the gaming space. I haven't listened to all their episodes, but I've seen they have about three or four episodes out now, and I essentially refer to them as the Avengers of Canadian content creation. So it does seem like a cool show to check out. Certainly listen to that. I'm really on a Sad Boys kick right now, the Sad Boys podcast with Jarvis Johnson and Jordan Attica. I think that one is also a fantastic show you can listen to of two YouTube content creators who are doing very well for themselves and also like to talk about mental health. It's a super important topic. I have been kind of jumping into a show called Tired Dad, which it's a guy who essentially goes by the TM of Tired Dad on TikTok, and he does all these videos that sort of put into perspective what's important in life. And he kind of boasts the messaging about, you know, parenting is only hard for good parents, which speaks to me in a way, because I do feel like as being a parent, you know, your life does change. So for people who are listening who aren't parents, they may not get it and it may not be the show for you. So if you're a fan of Bluey and you're a fan of being a good parent, then you'll certainly love Tired Dad podcast. What other shows can I recommend in the meantime? Anything over at Carpool Gaming, Nintendo Drive. They just got a fantastic new co-host with Miles of Amanda. You can go listen to them as well. Xbox Drive, PlayStation Drive, the trifecta of Canadian and American gaming podcasts over at Carpool Gaming. And I can't forget about Save the Game Media as well, you know, and all their shows as well. Go listen to them. And of course, you know, Four Player Podcast, my boys. I've been listening to them for over a decade, and I'm going to listen to them for another decade if they keep going. They're almost pushing 800 episodes, these guys. They've been around the block for a while, and they probably kickstarted Justin.tv into Twitch TV. Let's be real. They were like the first, I think. Well, I'm going to believe that they were. And many, many more shows. The Retrograde, you know, they're also out there too. I love the Retrograde podcast. You know, Andrew and Mikey, still listening to them. Gosh, man, like this is not goodbye. I'm not saying goodbye forever. I want to give you guys enough content that you guys can listen to that will keep you busy, and I will be back. I guarantee you I'll be back in some form, and I will let you know how I'm making progress in terms of my mental health and how life is going to be faring, at least in terms of the baby in the world. But I've always got the bug. You know, the podcast bug is always there, so it's something that is going to bring me back, and I'm going to have more games to talk about, but hopefully I won't be by myself on this. And if I am, then so be it. I'll continue to talk with myself, and that's all good. But I do want to really try to achieve the goal of being able to speak on other topics. And so whatever that ends up being, you know, I'm facing this crossroads. I'm kind of taking one direction, and I do hope it's the right one. And I do, guys, hope that you are as patient with me as you can be. And I love you guys very much. That's all I can say. All right, guys. Time to stop getting sappy. I think I've prepared you guys for the world, and you guys are ready to depart in a new journey. Let's take you to the end, guys. If you do want to follow me along, I may be getting back into writing as well in my off time to sort of keep myself busy in some way. So you can tune over to my blog, which is wkee, that's spelled K-E-E, .wordpress.com. On Twitter, you can follow this podcast at Podcast Outbreak. You can keep up with me on my personal account, which is at Will Key, as well. Threads, don't know if I'm actually still using it, but I do have Threads. It's at William Outbreak. You can search William Outbreak on TikTok, where I may also, like going to writing, may try to post some more on TikTok as well. So stay tuned there. If you want to shop for some merch on the Outbreak Podcast store, Redbubble, redbubble.com. And it's Outbreak Podcast, or sorry, William Outbreak. You can search for, which is for the Outbreak Podcast merch store. If you guys listen to the show on Anchor at anchor.fm/the Outbreak Podcast, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Be sure to drop a review, subscribe to the podcast. We are available on everywhere you listen to a podcast. That includes Apple, Spotify, Google, Listen Notes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music plus Audible, and TuneIn plus Alexa, and many more. Well, we're into September now, so I guess Stitcher is officially gone. As you know, I think it was August 29th that was her last day, and I talked about it on the last show, so Stitcher is officially gone. I hope you guys have migrated to a different platform to be able to listen to all your favorite podcasts, and hopefully I'm one of them as well. Thank you guys so much for listening. I would say, you know, have a good week, and I'll see you next week, but I will see you on the interwebs. Please keep in touch, and look forward to hearing from you guys soon. All right, have a good night.